Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
to let you know if you would like to watch it. Things are going great at CLC. We even have people who want to come and take tours still. So COVID is not getting us down by dollars. We're trending forward. And if you know of anybody, though, we really need some caregivers. So if you know of anybody who loves children and loves Jesus, we would love to have them.
Okay. With that, we have marvelous gifts that God has in store for us in His Word and His Sacrament. Let's take just a moment and prepare our hearts and our minds for those marvelous gifts. The moment we will process in with the cross, singing the first hymn, and I'll invite you to stand at that time. Abel, I invite you to please stand. Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you. And for his sake, he forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I now forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join in chanting the intro of the day together.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you to hear our prayers and to lighten the darkness of our hearts by your gracious visitation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Old Testament reading for this third Sunday in Advent is from the prophet Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God.
speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read the psalm of the day responsively as indicated, Psalm 85. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned from your hot anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs up from the ground, and righteousness looks down from the sky. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps the way. The epistle is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian churches. Fourth chapter. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation. God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
If you're able, I invite you to stand in honor of Jesus' words in the Holy Gospel. And as we sing the Alleluia verse.
Lord, to whom shall we go?
St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare a way before you.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Society at the name of Jesus, especially when it is said that he is the only way to heaven. Our world cannot accept that there is only one way, particularly since there are so many nice people who believe other things. Many years ago now, I was watching television late at night, and I only caught just a glimpse of a television commercial, but it particularly offended me. Didn't see all of it, but let me describe to you what I saw. There were a couple of big guys, bouncer types, you know, Pastor Bennett types, letting some people through theater-style ropes into what I first thought was a concert or something. But as I started to pay attention, I noticed these guards were outside of a church. They were only letting certain people in. The guards were mean-looking, grimacing, and loudly barking, "Not you! No, behind you. Yeah, yeah, you're okay. Come on in." And the screen went dark, and words appeared, "Jesus didn't turn people away." And then the scene returned with people walking right on through the ropes, now unguarded, posing for the closing shot with the name of the church domination over them. The people who walked through were those who were turned away at the beginning. All sounds kind of nice, doesn't it? And there's some elements of truth and offense to all of the rest of the Christian churches who might have watched. It's as though we have gates out in front of our church, and if someone doesn't look like we do or act like we do, well, then they can't come in. But that's only part of what offended me. The people who went through the gates at the end of the commercial weren't only of different races, and they were dressed a little differently with some tattoos and body piercings. There were men holding hands with other men and women holding hands with other women. An obvious reference to them being gay. But I still wasn't offended by the fact that the church accepted all comers. I hope and pray we do that. What was obvious to me is that the commercial was saying that it just doesn't matter how you act or what you believe. You can do whatever you want and still be safe. That's my point today. I know it's a little bit confusing. Even John the Baptist was a little bit confused, not to mention his followers. The point is that Jesus came into the world to rescue everyone. He died and rose again for all sinners. None were excluded. He took all comers. But John the Baptist was also right. He preached of repentance. That's the crux of all Christianity, isn't it? It's where the rubber meets the road. Why are some people saved and others aren't? This crossroads has frustrated many men and even many theologians. For how is salvation achieved? Was it by John's method of harsh preaching of repentance? Or was it by Jesus' acceptance and inclusion? John knew Jesus. He baptized him in the Jordan River. John was full of the Holy Spirit since his birth. Surely he knew Jesus was the Messiah foretold by the prophets. But he sent his own followers to ask Jesus if he was the one. Jesus responded without a direct yes or no, as was often the case. Rather, Jesus responded with words that he knew a prophet of God would understand. He told the disciples to report to John the things they had seen with their own eyes. The blind received their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Those words quoted from Isaiah and Malachi would indicate to John that this was indeed the one who was foretold by the prophets. And then Jesus closes his discourse with John's followers with these words, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Curious. why would anyone be offended by Jesus? Jesus attempts to address the crowd then in order that they might understand who these blessed ones are and who are not offended by Jesus. Jesus begins by asking the crowd about John the Baptist. He asks them what they expected when they went out into the desert to see this prophet. He wonders out loud if they went out to see someone who would tell them what they wanted to hear. That's why many people go to church, you know. People want to be accepted. They don't want to be told that they're wrong. They don't want to be told that they are sinners and that they are going to hell if they don't repent. They don't even want to know that there is a hell. People want to be accepted for who they are. But that's not what John gave them. John the Baptist is this straight-laced prophet who calls people out for their sins, living a life of poverty and self-denial. He's never tasted a drink of wine or any other strong drink. He eats simple foods. He dresses more like a wild animal than a prophet who is to be respected by worldly folks. Most of all, he speaks with authority. He doesn't mince his words. He was sent to make the crooked ways straight and level the hills. And with his strong words of repentance, coupled with his own example of a pure life, John was bound to shut some people out and turn some people off. He certainly was not a reed blowing in the wind who changed position with who he was talking to, like our modern politicians. Now there's Jesus, much different than John. He hangs out with known sinners. He's been known to like a good party, making water into wine. He's much more accepting and inclusive than John. He heals the lame, the unclean lepers, the blind, makes the deaf to hear, and preaches good news to the poor. This is the one we want to follow. This is the one they wanted to follow too, and they wanted to hear that this baptizer was wrong. That's not what Jesus told them, is it? Jesus told the people that John was a prophet and more than a prophet. He attributes greatness to John. Jesus said, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. That's a big statement. That must mean John spoke with authority, and he was right in what he said. This is a sure sign of authority. Word from God himself, who teaches spiritually solid and good things. Every teaching that gives room to sin or indulges the flesh and teaches earthly pleasures is not from God. These teachings do not stand firm in truth. Rather, they bend to the wishes and the soft clothing desires of the flesh. That message is a certain sign of heresy. But because of the true church's preaching of repentance, many are offended and they fall away from the church when they see the poverty and rejection that the church receives in the world. Jesus told the disciples of John and the crowd, and of course he tells you too, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. Jesus knew that he'd be called a stone of offense and a stumbling block. He knew that because of him there would be a scandalous rage at the church for preaching repentance. Mankind cannot understand the total acceptance and inclusion of Jesus when it's coupled with the repentance of John. Because these spiritual matters are invisible and men cannot understand them, they are foolishness to man. Only the poor have the good news preached to them. This is because the kingdom of God belongs exclusively to those who are in the tribulation. Since it is the word of peace, salvation, and goodness, it applies to those who do not have peace, salvation, and what is good. You who once lacked these things shall lack them no more. Those people who are comfortable in this life, who have plenty of money and food and pleasure, have no need for the kingdom of God. So is that the answer then? Are we to live like John the Baptist? No, surely not. Anyone can live like a hermit. Anyone can deny himself of wine or strong drink. Yes, they can. And eat only off the land. Anyone can deny himself pleasures from life and be thought of in human terms as someone who is certainly a good man. It's evident that salvation requires more than that, than what mere human beings can accomplish for themselves. And here is where Jesus comes into the picture. Jesus provides the cure all sin. He accepts and includes all people for salvation who don't reject him. His life, suffering, death, and resurrection are for all sinners. He is the cure for all sin. But for those who reject him and turn completely away from Jesus in order to look for acceptance from other humans, their fate is sealed. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Again, in Acts, we are told there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. Therefore, we respond to Jesus' love for us and repent and turn completely away from our sins and our sinful nature to love him and love our neighbor. Certainly, we are to love our neighbor and accept them just as Christ accepted us as sinners. We are to show them by our love and our actions toward them that the love of Jesus Christ is big enough for them. But we are not to condone sinful behavior. We are not to accept for acceptance's sake. We are not to be the object of love for our neighbors. We are to be the conduit of love that comes only from Jesus. For it is he who does the work of salvation. It is Jesus who died and rose again to gain eternal life for all. Encourage your neighbor to turn away from their sin and allow Jesus to do all the work for them the way he has already rescued you. And all blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus till he returns again in glory. Amen. You're able to invite you to stand as we confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe. of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, and I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you have been favorable to your people and restored the fortunes of your church by the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. Fill us with rejoicing at all times and give reasonableness to our words and deeds that all may recognize our Christian confidence in your advent. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, through your Son, you bring light to the hidden things of darkness and disclose purposes of the heart. Give your church faithful stewards of your mysteries, servants of Christ who are trustworthy to proclaim you alone as Lord and Judge. Tend your flock by your word and spirit, that your lambs may be gathered into your arms and gently led to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, be the source of strength and comfort in every home. Bless the children of our families, that every darkness would be lightened by your Son's gracious visitation. Preserve them from dangers to body and soul. Guide them by your word in wise paths, and keep them firm in the faith till life's end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of all comfort, your word alone endures forever. The nations of the world come and go before you, even as kings and rulers are like grass before your breath. Preserve us from placing our trust in princes and mortal men. Give us rulers who will rule after your good pleasure, keeping order and protecting life, that we may live peaceably in godly quietness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, to our prayers, especially for all those who've requested our prayers and those we now name in our hearts. Give healing, courage, and perseverance to all who cry to you, that they may find comfort in your enduring word and the certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life with Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Blessed, O Lord, is everyone who is not offended by your Christ. Give us faith to believe your blessed testament, seek your holy supper for the forgiveness of our sins, and confess your truth with honest hearts in communion with one another at this altar today. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Continue with the Common Doxology, hymn 805.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures hear me.
Continue with the offertory.
Say, up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and to be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation.